At that point, morning service will be on your radio. And I know that in the past number of weeks, that service has been welcomed by many of you because you haven't been able to make your way to your own church because it's closed. It will be some time before Mass or service returns. And what will it look like when it does? Will many churches stay closed? Is this an opportunity for churches of all denominations to look at how they run their congregations and make what up until now were considered impossible decisions? But perhaps they're more possible post-pandemic. Well, we are joined this morning by Presbyterian Minister, the Reverend Dr. Norman Hamilton, our broadcasting colleague, Father Brian Darcy, and sociologist from Queen's University, Dr. Gladys Ganiel. And Brian, I'll start with you. Do you expect that the church will look and be different after this pandemic?
Yes, I do expect the church to be different because the church is part of the world and the world is going to be very different. And if the church is to be relevant, it can't exclude itself from the world. It has to be part of the world and will fall into whatever some customs that are applied to the world for safety and scientific reasons and everything else. We'll have to learn from all the other sciences. The church as a group of praying people or a community will have to take note of that. And it will be different. I don't expect everything to go back to normal in the immediate future. It may change if a suitable vaccine comes, and a vaccine that will apply not only to COVID-19 but possibly to COVID-20 and 21 and whatever number of COVIDs come after it as well. A vaccine will have to look after all of those, and if that happens, then of course we can resume what was a kind of normality, by which stage we won't know if there'll be many people coming to church anyway, so the church is going to have to be very different no matter what way it happens.
Norman, do you agree?
Yes, I do. I think the church, it's inevitable that the church will look different after the pandemic. It's essential, in my view, that it will look different, and it is to be welcomed that it will look differently after the pandemic, because the patterns of church were designed for a different era. For example, as you know, I served 25 years in North Belfast, and when those churches were built, the mills and the shipyard were thriving. There were thousands of people lived in quite small areas. People walked to church. Those days have gone. You now drive to church, at least in many locations you do. So it must be different, but let's welcome that.
Gladys, do you think it will be different?
Well, I think it's already different. We've seen that, how parishes, congregations around the country, around the world, were forced nearly overnight to move a lot of their services online. So, I mean, that's already changed the landscape. And, you know, where there's no going back from that. People aren't just going to, the churches aren't just going to take their online presence off once the pandemic ends. So I think that kind of blending of the virtual world with, if we want to call it the real world, as it were, where people can meet face to face, that has started to happen already. And it's going to have, long-term consequences on the way people think about what church is and what it means to practice their religion.
Yes, let's talk a little bit about that, Brian, because if that is true and the virtual world becomes an ever more defining feature of how people worship, do you expect that to happen, first of all?
I suspect it will happen. I wouldn't say it'd be terribly welcoming of virtual things. I actually think we, apart from the virtual churches, we're speaking and we haven't defined what we mean by church at all here, which is not easy to define at any stage, and certainly not now. But we're talking about, to put it in a broad spectrum, a clerical church of one description or another. But there is another church. There's a church of the nurses who are just as good as they are the body of Christ, tending the body of Christ. We have the doctors, we have cleaners, we have so many frontline people, we have good neighbours looking after their other older neighbours. We have young fellas in football clubs running around delivering groceries. We have a different kind of church actually working extraordinarily well in our midst at the moment, and without interference or influence or anything else, by and large, from what we traditionally call people coming to church. People are still practicing the religion. People are still doing the great command of Christ, love the God with all your heart and your neighbour as yourself. Well, I think, you know, if you look at how people have reacted to COVID-19, they have done it fantastically well. They haven't forgotten God. They certainly haven't forgotten their neighbour, and they're beginning to understand that they have got to take care of themselves, because how they take care of themselves affects the entire community as well.
There's certainly little doubt about that, but I suppose if we talk about the church in the physical, structural sense, if our way of worshipping and praying changes and continues to change, what does that mean for the buildings?
As Norman has already said, and that is too, the buildings were made for an era. For example, in the Catholic Church at one stage, the reasoning that there were so many churches in rural areas was that if you had to walk more than three Irish miles to church, then you're exempt from the obligation to attend church on that particular Sunday. Now, and so if you look at it, you know, there are many churches, that's about the way it went around the country, 6 miles apart or 7 miles apart, because they wanted to make sure that they could walk to the church in three Irish miles. Now, don't ask me what three Irish miles as distinct from three imperial miles, but there is a difference, and the Irish miles were longer. So that was the society that it was built on. And if you look at, you know, in the famine, there was 8 million people here in the famine. There was less priests, and from the Catholic Church again, there was less priests than there are now. There was no transport, so there were a different kind of church. The idea of going to church every Sunday was for a few, it wasn't for the many, and people had ways of finding roads. That's why, like, personal prayer gathered together, families gathered together, and the church has been refounded now. Instead of having a congregation of 400 to 500, whatever it is, the church is actually thriving in small family cells, which, if you go back to the Acts of the Apostles, is how it began.
Norman, do you anticipate churches closing, and if so, who will make that decision?
Well, I certainly have had conversations with, and let me put this carefully, with some fairly influential folks in the churches, and they are telling me that they expect some churches not to open, and they've even identified which ones those might be, and this for a whole variety of reasons. Not least, for example, the impact on the finances of local congregations of the pandemic are massive. And I think there will be as the income falls, and this is not about this is not reducing the church to economics, but what it is changing the way congregational life is done in big buildings. Congregational life will certainly thrive, but whether it will thrive in big buildings that need massive maintenance, I think, is seriously doubtful. And of course, there will be an impact throughout the whole of Ireland, in fact, throughout the whole of the West, because of the shrinking economy. The Economist magazine, for example, has talked about a 10% reduction in the economy and described that as miserable. That's the phrase they used. So that will have an impact not only on congregational resources, it will have a huge impact on the resources of the central church as well, who will also have to adapt. So we're not just talking about congregational life at parish level. I think we're also talking about the central church structures, the governance structures, the accountability structures, all of which will be less well-resourced than they currently are.
Do you expect church buildings to close, Gladys?
Well, I mean, I think church buildings were closing anyway. So, I mean, there's a chance that this accelerates the process. But I want to come back to a couple of things that Brian and Norman had said, and it relates to this. So Brian said, you know, he wasn't terribly welcoming of virtual church, but we have now nearly 3 decades of research on religion online, basically. And what that research has found, that in general, online church or virtual church is not a replacement for real life church in any way whatsoever. Initially, we thought that might happen. You know, people would go online and never go back to their church building, but that's generally not what happens. They supplement each other. And I mean, that's part of to do with the way we live our lives now anyway. We live half of our lives online in every aspect of life. So in some ways, why should church be any different? So the idea that, you know, virtual church might be something to be feared or that will take away from religious practice, I don't think, you know, previous research has borne that out. And you know, if trends of people going online to practice their religion are accelerated by the pandemic, I don't think ultimately it's like the death knell of, you know, church in real life, as it were. Brian also mentioned, you know, the idea of kind of church being out there in the world. You know, it made me think of Pope Francis's vision of the church's field hospital, you know, when he's describing the doctors and the nurses. and so forth. At the minute, I'm actually running a survey of all the clergy in Ireland. It's open now. The full results won't be in until the 22nd of May. But just even looking at the early results of the survey, we asked about the extent that churches are continuing with their ministry, not only amongst their own flock, but to the wider community. And by and large, people, the churches have either increased or kept their service to the community the same. So, I mean, there's empirical evidence, I think, and kind of bearing out that the church is actually in this pandemic, getting out there in the real world and being the church in that very practical sense. So I know that the closure of church buildings, particularly in rural areas, may be cause for concern or alarm on the part of the institutional churches. But I mean, I think we need to see that in the wider context of, you know, these other trends that the pandemic is kind of throwing up for us.
Brian, does a community, does a parish, does a congregation need an actual church to be at the heart of a community?
My instant answer would be I think yes. I have always believed that, and sometimes in my life I've spent a lot of it restoring churches and believe that, you know, that there's a kind of a central community. Whether it's the only centre, the only religious centre, I'm agreeing with Gladys. I don't think I'm disagreeing with Gladys at all. I actually have the idea that a virtual church as a complement or a supplement to the church is perfect. I mean, somebody involved in communications would have to believe that. But as a complete substitute for church, I don't see it that way. I do think that there is a central coming together of the congregation and of the community, and whether you call that a church or a building, church building, but it comes together. In Ireland, we have difficulties, Audrey, and I think we need to claim that. If clergy get together and decide, well, this church is going to be closed and that church is going to be closed and the other church is going to be closed, I think it will be, you know, the death knell of things altogether. What we have to understand is we have to give the people a voice in saying what they can claim, and what they can claim is their own. Don't forget, many of the churches around Ireland are where people got married, where they were made the First Communion, where they were baptised, where their children were baptised, and where their families are buried. And if you, you know, within the Catholic Church again, probably the one of the biggest days in the year in any parish now is Cemetery Sunday, where people come from all over the world, the only day of the year for many of them, but want to come to pray in the place where their families are buried. So there's going to be a relearning experience, and we have to start where we're at rather than trying to impose another structure on people. And people have now learned that they can take responsibility for their community. The pandemic has shown that very, very well. And so we should make that, encourage that, and make that the basis of any change we have. Start with the people and say, you know, if we want to continue a church, there won't be a priest there, but, you know, we can have the church if you want to, but you will have to ensure it, you will have to look after it, you will have to make sure it's upkept, you'll have to, and in a pandemic, you'll have to ensure it's sanitised and everything else. And can you do that? And don't forget again that many congregations